warning and warming. I woke up Thursday morning, early in the morning, with those two words on my heart. Warning, that's a job of fathers, warming, both warning and warming hearts. If you'd open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted or warned you, each one of you, and we encouraged you, that's warming hearts, and charged you, that's warning, again, to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And now, let's ask the Lord for his anointing as we share his holy word this morning. Father, we're so thankful for your grace. We're so thankful, Lord, that by your grace, you pour out the riches of your kindness upon us. Pour out the riches of your grace and kindness upon especially the husbands and fathers in our congregation in this second service. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There used to be a lot of orphanages across our land. Not so many after 1973. Because since 1973, 64 million children's lives have been snuffed out. And that's a very sad, sad thing. But back in the days of orphanages, when I grew up, in the 40s and 50s, I want you to know there were a lot of orphanages. My dad ministered often in orphanages, especially at the Open Door Children's Home. And I'm thinking today of a man and woman who wanted so badly to have children, and they couldn't have children. And so they decided to go to an orphanage some years ago to adopt a child, and that happened in those days. And so they went and looked at all the children, and they found one little boy. He had no siblings. He was there as a part of a large children's home, and they asked if they could interview him, and they did. They told him the kind of life that they had to offer with many clothes and many toys and a very own bedroom of his own. He wouldn't have all the other boys. It would be a luxurious home and bedroom of his own. And the boy, when he saw they were done, he said, "If you have nothing more to offer me except a good home and clothes and toys, why? Why should I go to your place? I would just as soon stay here in the orphanage." And the woman just looked at him. She says, "What on earth, young man? What on earth could you ever want besides the things that we have offered you?" And the little boy with tears in his eyes said, "I just want someone to love me." Isn't that what every one of us want? I can't imagine any boy or any girl, any teenage son or daughter, any single or married adult, if you have a dad who is living, that doesn't want to hear today on Father's Day one thing, if you hear nothing else, and that is, "Son or daughter, I love you. I love you." That's what we want from our fathers, is their love. This week has been a very precious week for me. On Tuesday, June 14th, our fourth daughter, Audrey, gave birth to our 27th grandchild. My wife is out in Oregon, was out there for that, Lander McClay Ross. On June 16th, After we were married at age 22, we celebrated our double nickel anniversary, 55 years together, and it's the second time it was apart from each other. And then today is Father's Day. But it's also been a precious week of leading people to Christ. And yesterday, you see kind of the farmer or rancher's look on me. I was had a hat on trying to catch some fish and caught some. But I saw a fellow who was catching fish, and he caught three in a row. And so I just went over and asked him what bait he was using. He was from another state, but he works these parts. He's a roustabout for the oil field. He's 57 years old. He not only showed me what he had, but he said, you can take this can and use it. I saw he was ready to go a lot sooner than I was. And so I saw him take his black truck and start to back up because they were camping down at Manila. And as he went by, the Lord told me, walk up that hill and talk to him. I got up there and talked to him. His name is Cloyd. And I asked him where he worked. He told me, and I said, where's God in your life? And he says, I don't think we're of the same religion. And I said, well, I don't know what religion you are, he told me. And I said, that doesn't prevent you from knowing Jesus, because it's not the church we go to. The brick and mortar here can't save us. Only Jesus can save us. Have you ever heard of being born again? He said, I've never heard of that. I said, would you like to? He said, go right ahead. So I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. And when I came to the place in the gospel presentation where he admitted he was a sinner, and he believed that Jesus died on the cross for his sins, and that he repented of his sins, I asked him if he would be willing to pray and ask Jesus to come into his life. And he took off his hat as I took mine off. And he prayed to receive Jesus as his Savior. And I looked at him and I said, where's the Lord? He said, in my life, in my heart. And I said, you know, the Lord just put it on my heart. Go talk to you. He says, I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad you obeyed him. Probably if there's anything I could say this morning that I want to say is that I'm filled up with the joy of the Lord in my life today. And one song kept going through my mind as I prepared this message. It's an old song. Darlene Check wrote it from Hillsong in Australia down under in 1997. It's called Shout to the Lord. The words are for you, dads. And they're for you, my Father. Shout to the Lord, my Jesus, my Savior. Lord, there's none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down, and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you. Forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. And as that man drove away, I couldn't quit crying and just saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, today, I'm aware of the big differences between Father's Day and Mother's Day, and it is more than gender. For whatever reason, on Mother's Day, we all take our cue from Proverbs 31. We lift up mothers, we encourage them, we crown them with praise. And amazingly, most messages across the country on Father's Day in our upside-down world are often challenges for fathers to step up to the plate. And sometimes they bear down pretty hard. Well, I'm just here today to tell you I don't have a discouraging bone in my body to pick a fight with any of you. Men, I'm just so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're giving it what you've got. And I want to encourage you and cheer you on and encourage you. Keep on being faithful in what you're doing for God. I had the joy a week ago, yesterday morning, down in Eaton, Colorado. I went down to hear our six-member band. And it's five young men and Colton's wife, Dana. They call it Greasewood Redemption. We got all kinds of greasewood around here. It's a useless thing. But God the Redeemer takes us, who are like greasewood, and He redeems us. And they did a wonderful concert, and so did the band that my daughter was in, Amanda. We spent the night there. We all holed up at Travis and Amanda's home. And the next morning, we had a glorious waffle breakfast. And then Travis took out a devotional book by Bob Schultz. I would certainly encourage you to read. I don't care what your age is. It's written in 2006 by Bob Schultz. It's called Created for Work, Practical Insights for Young Men. But it's good for young women and all women as well as all men. He read a chapter about maintaining our equipment. People don't do that as much anymore. Just throw it away and buy a new one. Maintaining even our toys, our tools, our cars, maintaining our homes, maintaining our marriages, maintaining our relationships. And there sat our young men. There was Preston Ackerman, Aaron Folks, Colton and Dana Yeager. There was Andrew Nealon, Caleb Nealon. And then Roland Ross and Abram Ross and Amanda and Travis Ross, and I was there too. And I could hardly keep the tears back. Here's Travis taking the time on a morning when he could have said, we don't need to do anything this morning. But he's having a devotion. It was kind of a long one. And he asked us questions, and then he prayed with us. That's great husband and fathering. And then last Monday, I visited a home. It goes to our church. And when I arrived there, the parents were at the table having devotions with their kids, and they had a devotion about the Lord's coming, and they were talking about the coming of the Lord. I was thrilled. I've come to encourage us today, dads. I want to challenge us also. I have no desire to discourage one of you, but I'm praying that God will motivate you as fathers, whether you're dads, grandpas, great-grandpas, or even single men hoping for a wife to marry. I want to challenge you that there's a special thrill in being a husband and a father. And even in this day when people say, what a terrible day to raise kids. It's a grand day to raise kids. This is a day when good and evil are so black and white. It's nice to know it's not pink or gray. You can tell what's black and you can tell what's white. I want you to know I came to challenge you. And the Lord gave me this title, Warning and Warming Hearts. Both those words have captivated my heart. That's what a father is to do. And so I ask you, fathers, today to hear this challenge, to have the moral courage to warn hearts in your family, to hold fast to the Lord and to lead them in doing so. And I challenge you as fathers to have the moral courage to warm hearts in your family, to reach the goals that God has for them, and to lead the way in pursuing those goals God has for you. With that in mind, let's jump in. Let's talk about it. First of all, He calls us to have the courage to warn hearts to hold fast to the Lord. The Bible lays before us strong assignments of challenge and admonishment and warning, and to accept the tough assignment by men that comes to us by example, if you're children here today. They're to warn you, as my father warned me. They're to warn those under our charge to stay strong for God. Now, I have five ways that we're to warn, and I'll have five ways we are to warm hearts. First of all, warn with love. Let all you do as a husband and father and worker on the job and neighbor be done in love. You remember I said it last week in a message. I say it again. If there's anyone in our body here that you can't say I love you to, repent of it and get right with God. Scripture says, be watchful in 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Do you know something? Did you know that this verse was written to all the Corinthians, both male and female? And this is one time that the Bible has the courage to say, no matter whether you're a mom or a dad, step up to the plate. Act like soldiers. Act like men. Be strong. And let all you do be done in love. And dads, we are to lead the way. A huge part of acting like true men of God is the willingness to accept Paul's warning not to do anything that is not said or done in love. Being a man's man is not something I have seen over the years in 55 years of ministry. I've seen it happen a couple times, maybe three, in which something isn't going well in an elder meeting or in a deacon meeting, and somebody says, let's step outside and we'll settle this. No, that's acting like boys. Men don't settle things that way. We do it in love. It's not shoving someone's face in the dirt. It's rather doing everything in love. Every father must warn his children, but we fathers must always use love when we warn. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Part of warning may at times include disciplining our sons and daughters, but it can never be done in anger. Any warning we give our children is never speaking down to them. I want to tell you all today that when God created us, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We never talk down to our children. We talk to them the way we would want to be talked to. That's the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It doesn't have to be domineering. It doesn't have to be thoughtless or arbitrary. It doesn't ever treat them as a lesser. When we warn our children to get back in bounds, to stay in the boundaries of love, respect, honesty, and obedience, what it means is they know we're staying in the boundaries and we're calling them back where the freedom is in the bounds. They ought to see in our eyes and in our speech they have a dad who would die for them, who loves them. Warn with love. Then number two, and you may not like this one. This one may be hard on us dads, but I encourage you, warn with tears. Warn with tears. Let all warnings you give as husbands, fathers, and leaders be done with heartfelt love, emotion, and tears. We grew up in a world that tell us big boys don't cry. I would like to reverse that and say men, true men, do cry. It's little boys that have trouble because they're told not to. Listen to Paul. He's an example for us, a spiritual father he was in Acts 20:28-32. He warned the Ephesian elders in Miletus, and he warned them saying, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to warn and admonish every one of you with tears. 3 years. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Men, you can hide behind whatever you wish to. I can hide behind being Swedish. You know, I've been told many times, Swedes don't cry very easy, men. Many times, we don't cry as much as our wife does. But when children see tears in our eyes, they know we mean business, and they know it's something deep on our heart. When you cry with your children, they won't forget it. I can't tell you how many times as a dad with 7 children and 6 others we took into our family to raise for a time. I can't tell you how many times my children said, Dad, don't cry. But today, as adults, they tell me, Dad, I remember when you cried. Oh, yes, the rod and reproof give wisdom. That's true. The scripture says it in Proverbs 29:15. But God also uses tears, men. Paul wrote in Acts 20, 18 to 19, about his very way of life. And this is what he said. You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. When Paul warned the church in Corinth, he let them know he didn't want to make another painful visit. He said in 2 Corinthians 2:4, For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love I have for you all. The tears of a dad or a spiritual dad, a spiritual mentor, those tears are not in vain. Paul wrote to Timothy, because when we have tears, we teach our children also to have tears over the right thing. Not that I didn't get my way, but we cry over sin in our lives. When we learn to cry over sin, we can repent and get right with God. And Paul says to his son in the faith, as I remember your tears, Timothy, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. When we weep over wayward children or those we're mentoring, we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. You remember, Jesus wept. Warn with love, warn with tears, warn with patient firmness. Let all warnings be firm but patient and encouraging to the faint-hearted. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, Paul writes, And we urge you, brothers, warn, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. I want you to know, men, our words carry a lot of weight. They can bring life or death. There's not a person among us that hasn't said things we wish we could suck back. We can't. But we can repent of those and do differently in days to come. Because Scripture says in Proverbs 18:21, Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. I want you to know, dads, our words carry extra weight with our children. Our words can shape them as they grow. If our children grow up with criticism, you'll never do it, you'll never make anything, they'll learn to condemn. If they grow up with patient firmness and praise and encouragement, they'll learn to appreciate life and they'll have confidence. Warn with love, with tears, with patient firmness. And for you dads that still have your kids at home, I don't. That's been many years ago. Warn with diligent, loving discipline. Here's where we're tested as men, not only with preschoolers, but middle schoolers and junior hires and high schoolers and even college career age. If we buy into the world's methods of child rearing, the day will come when our homes will be out of control. God tells us in Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares his rod hates his son or daughter. He who loves him or her will be diligent to discipline them. If you say, well, Pastor, that was back then. This is June 19th, 2022. I want to remind you of the word of the Lord in Proverbs 35 and 6. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. God says in Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son while there is hope and do not desire his death. And so, fathers and mothers, be certain if you ignore God's word to love your children with firm, loving discipline, you are signing their death warrant and turning them over to the foolishness and the sinfulness of their own hearts. Don't do that. Proverbs 29:17 says, discipline your son or daughter, and they'll give you comfort and rest. They will delight your soul. Now, for you dads that are, you've released your kids, I have a word for you. Warn with passionate words of release and a promise to faithfully pray. All through the Old Testament, we see the example of Jacob and others blessing their sons. And I want to tell you that I, by my own example, would only say, follow me as I follow Christ, where I don't get off that drain. But I want to tell you, there's a place for blessing your children. And every Sunday morning, I put my hands on my children, put my hands on their head, kissed both sides of their faces, and blessed them. And Jenny prayed the blessing back to God. And when it came time to release each one into marriage, we asked them where they wanted to go out to eat, what they wanted. Whatever it cost, no matter how much, that's where we went. And there my wife and I gave a formal release. Jenny, her own, my own, written out. And in that little word that we had, which is both for us, a couple, two or three pages that we read to them, there were final words that we thought we ought to even bring warning. And things, remember, this is a difficulty. We're praying. We're going to be praying for you. Today we release you from our hand, but not from our heart. We'll never release you from our hearts. And we've attempted to honor our release and not interfere in the lives of our children. You see, they make their own decisions. Our children must learn to live with their decisions. That's my job. I have to do that. That doesn't mean they never ask. Even this week, I've had two different children that have called me and asked me for input. So do you warn then, but prayerfully, but never insistently? Why? Because they're no longer under my tutelage. They now have come to that place that they are the man of the house. They're the father. But I do speak the truth, but in love. Whether it's in child rearing, living with adult children, or being concerned with fellow Christians, I want you to know that if you're in the warning business and you don't do it in love, you're out of the will of God and it's not a warning. It's an evil thing you're doing. Quit doing it. If you don't speak the truth in love, speaking in love, always, no matter how awful it is, whatever you have to say, speak it in love. I call us as men to the warning of hearts, to warn with love, with tears, with patient firmness, with diligent loving discipline, and with passionate words of release. Most of you are doing this very thing. If you aren't, are your children at home? If they are, it's never too late to begin obeying God in warning these dearest hearts that we love for his glory. I come to the second part, and you've said, I hoped you'd get there. We're getting there now. God calls us to have courage to warm hearts, to reach for the goals God has for each dear heart we love, to warm hearts. How do we biblically become dads and fathers who warm the hearts of our sons and daughters, and all those we love and respect and honor? I want to give you five ways. First of all, set a goal of being more than a physical father. Be a spiritual dad to your children. In 2 Corinthians 4, 14 to 16, Paul tells the church in Corinth, I don't write these things to make you ashamed, but to warn and admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. He's talking about spiritual fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. God doesn't want us to be satisfied and say, I'm a physical dad. He wants us to be spiritual fathers. How do you do it? Be a father in Christ through the gospel. Live out the heart of the shepherd that Jesus gives us. He's the good shepherd. That means we show unconditional love to our children. We remember Jesus is our example. He's a friend of sinners. He was criticized for it. He's gone to eat with the sinners, the tax gatherers, the publicans. If our children go astray, we should certainly call them back to the Lord. But we should never shun them. We should never deny them our presence. I want you to know, Jesus touched the untouchables. He touched even the lepers to make them whole. And no matter how leprous our kids may become spiritually speaking, we reach out to them with the greatest command that Jesus gave in John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you. That's the only commandment he gives us now for this day. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Do you practice this? Yes, I do. And I go into places I have no business going into to be a patron. I have been into a number of bars in this town for one purpose, to carry a drunkard home. Why would you do that? Because I had a wife that trusted me and said, he's got a car he can't drive home. He'll kill someone or kill himself. And I've gone there. And I remember a man saying to me, I'm not going with you. I'm not going with you. I said, how many beers have you had? He said, 65. I said, you should be legally dead. And he says, I'm going to hit you. You leave right now. I said, go ahead and hit me, but let me take off my glasses. I can't see you. I don't want to see when it hits. And I don't want the glass breaking. No, I can't do that. I carried him out. And I remember the fastest way to get a drunk to vomit and get it out of his system so they'll sober up is go to McDonald's. Get a Big Mac and coffee. That will bring it out. And I remember telling that man, and I remember where we were sitting right out here on the lane, when I said to him, if you ever do this again, God says, when you're out of fellowship with the Lord and you take communion, some of you are weak, some of you are sick, and some of you have already died, you've slept. And I said, if you do this again, God will take you home. He never ever drank another beer because he knew he was an alcoholic. We must invest time with our sons and daughters and spiritual children. Those we father and mentor spell love with four letters, T-I-M-E, time. Pray for the lives of sons and daughters to be filled with Jesus so they can touch others for him. Dads, be willing to see your sons and daughters go right on past you. If they become greater men and women of God than you are, say thank you, Jesus. Our goal is for them to see Jesus first of all in us, but then to follow Jesus even more than they follow us. May it make our heartwarming goal what John said in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. So set the goal of being more than a physical father, be a spiritual dad. Number two, sacrifice your life every day for your children. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 is Paul saying, we read, for you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We work night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses in God also how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how like a father with children we exhorted each one of you and we encouraged you. Sacrifice your life for your kids. Or as Paul said in the church in Philippi, in Philippians 1:7, it's right for me to feel this way about you warmly because I hold you in my heart. If you intend to be a spiritual dad, it means there will be sacrifice. There will be sacrifice. Thirdly, stretch yourself by holy, righteous, blameless conduct to call your sons and daughters to walk in a manner worthy of God. We worked night and day, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:9. Remember, brothers, our labor and toil, we worked night and day. We stretched ourselves that we wouldn't be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. Stretch yourself. I haven't met too many people that have a dad that died of many heart attacks like mine did. But I met one this past year, and he told me how it happened in front of him all the time, and it did for me. My dad stretched for me. He knew how much I loved to go hunting. I can't tell you how many times when we were out hunting, if he shot, he would go to his knees and he would be down there helpless. And I'd get down on my knees beside him and pray that we could get back to the vehicle. All I know is that he gave me himself. He stretched. How are you stretching for your family? Stretch in every way you can stretch. Stretch yourself by holy, righteous, and blameless conduct to call your sons and daughters to walk in a manner worthy of God. It's heartwarming to see your dad stretch for you. Sometimes we hear our children want something and we say, I don't want to do that. That would be stretching. Stretch for your children. Number four, send out your sons and daughters to follow after you in keeping the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. God bragged on Job and he bragged on Abraham. And he told us about his example in Genesis 18:19. And there we read that God says, "For I know him, I've chosen him, that he may command his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he's promised him." The word sava, it means to order for those to come behind you. Your children are watching what you do, dads. Order them warmly to follow you. Train them up in the way that they should go. Mentor them. Admit to them when you're wrong. Admit to them when you speak wrong. Admit to them when you act wrong. But the scripture says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way, or a son or a daughter in the way that they should go, even when they are old, they will not depart from it. It's warming to see dads sending out their sons and daughters for God's glory. I've seen fathers and mothers that will not commission their own children to go to the mission field. They want to hold them back. All I can say is when they want to go out for God's glory, wherever they want to go with the gospel, warmly commission them. That's the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. I've told you, set a goal of being more than a physical father. Be a spiritual dad. Sacrifice your life every day for them. Stretch yourself by holy, righteous, and blameless conduct to call your sons and daughters to walk in a manner worthy of God. Send your sons and daughters to follow after you in keeping the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. And now the last one. Strive to always give God the credit for any success you have as a father. It's his grace. If we do anything, it's any count. It's because of his grace. It's our daily decision. Wake up in the morning and remember, as long as you're alive, Dad, you're a dad. Practice the presence of Jesus. Give him all the glory for any successes. Just like yesterday when Cloyd came to the Lord, all I could do was just say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Well, dads, I've given you, as best I can, a part of God's divine design, a blueprint for us as fathers. Be encouraged to keep on until we see our Father and we see our Savior face to face.